Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
So earlier this year, we learnt of the sad passing of Mr. Liverpool, Ronnie Moran, who'd served at Liverpool Football Club for almost 50 years, passed away at the age of 83. At about the same time, his son Paul was just finishing a book all about his dad, entitled Mr. Liverpool. It's a superb read. If you've not seen it yet, do make sure you get your hands on a copy, maybe for Christmas. It's absolutely brilliant. Details everything in his career and tells you all about the man himself. So let's catch up with Paul now, because today is quite a significant day. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Thank you for your company. We're talking today about an anniversary on which he made his debut. So Saturday, the 22nd of November, 1952, your dad made his debut. Tell us more.
Well, obviously, the game was against Derby County away. My dad's debut. The people you'd have heard of who were in the Liverpool team at that time were certainly Bob Paisley and Billy Liddle. But the centre-half was Bill Jones, who was Rob Jones's granddad, who played a lot of games in the 90s, Rob Jones. So they're the three people you've probably, people who support Liverpool, have heard of. My dad, you know, it's one of them things. Well, unfortunately, we didn't really speak to my dad about his debut. You know, it was talked about years and years ago. Obviously, it was 10 years before I was born.
Mm.
But, you know, I've got the details here from the lad who's done the book with me, Carl Clemente, from Liverpool History Net. And I think I mentioned it to you once before. It's such a brilliant site. It's got Derby's team here and the full Liverpool lineup and who scored and the attendance. So, you know, if anyone ever needs to know any information about anything like that, it's all to hand. It's really good stuff.
That's some first team debut, isn't it? You mentioned Bob Paisley, Billy Liddle in the same team as him. Now, but was he not one to reflect at all on things like that?
No. It's just, I think it's the famous Liverpool mantra at the time is once the game's gone, it's gone.
Mm.
You know, it's that's finished. You know, he couldn't have. I think my dad was about 365 appearances he made in the end. Up to 1965, so you know, he had a 13-year career, and he didn't really talk about any specific game. He always mentions the one he got injured in 1961, but I can't remember who that was against. But and the other one he only ever mentions was the Inter Milan away game, which was his last game, as that seemed to be more upsetting to him than anything that ever happened at Liverpool. That Inter Milano in the European Cup semi-final.
Let's explore that a little bit more because, of course, Liverpool are in European action tonight. So the 65 European Cup tie against Inter Milan, or the two legs, shrouded in controversy, and the referee pretty much labelled a cheat by most of the Liverpool players. So in the aftermath of all that, as you were brought up, what did he tell you about how Liverpool were, and I'll put in inverted commas, robbed of European success that year?
Well, from the cup final was the Saturday against Leeds, and we won the cup for the first time. And Jerry Byrne got injured because my dad wasn't playing at that time because Jerry Byrne had took over as left back. Then obviously he got done in the final by Bobby Collins. So my dad played on the Wednesday at Anfield when we beat them 3-1. So obviously hopes were high going over to Italy. But they were doing, it's the famous stories of the church bells were going the night before when they were in the hotel. The church bells are ringing 1, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Bill Shankly and I think it was Bob Paisley at the time went to complain about it. He said it happens every night. So they were awoken during the night. And he said when they got to the stadium, you know, the security now, I mean, people say it's not a good thing when you can't get close to the players. But, you know, it's one of them things then. They're getting off the coach and they're running a gauntlet of Italian fans to get into the stadium. You know, so it's all on there, but it was pretty new at the time. I think it was our 10th European game or 8th or 10th European game in total. And then, you know, suddenly you're in what was then a cauldron at the San Siro. And then the referee does a few little things. When you've seen the videos are on YouTube, you can see it. I've always been a bit dubious about the one when he says he kicks it out of Tommy Lawrence's hand because Tommy was bouncing the ball. But the other one with the indirect free kick, there's just no explanation for how that was allowed. It was an indirect free kick that went straight in.
So it was one of it was one of your dad's great regrets.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you look now, obviously, we've won the European Cup 5 times since, but that was the first time we were in it. And he could have played in the European Cup final. I think it was Benfica who played the final against Inter Milan. You saw Eusebio and people like that. He never got the chance to play against. I mean, the person he played against in the Inter Milan game was a fella called Jair. He was a Brazilian. And he just said, my dad said, some of the things he was doing, he said, you know, you just can't. It was just so unexpected from playing in English league football for his whole career. And then suddenly playing against a Brazilian. And a decent Brazilian at that, you know. He said it was just some of the things he was doing. He said, "You think I'll get tight on him? I won't let him get a run at you." He was just brilliant. And my dad was obviously coming to the end of his career then as well. So, and I don't think my dad never really had much pace anyway. He always used to say, "So, getting caught like that against this fantastic winger." Did you see the third goal, which was a brilliant goal by a fella called Facchetti? Who played for Italy in the 1970 World Cup final against Brazil. You know, he scored a fantastic third goal. There was nothing you could do about the third goal, but it was just the general way things were dealt with. People don't do it now. Liverpool go to Seville tonight and be looked after because everyone does it now. But then, you know, you could get not left, but, you know, there's no police escorts for the coach and you're going through a mob of people and they're all banging on the windows and, you know, punching the windows and that. So it would be an unnerving thing for someone who's never experienced anything like that before.
Definitely a tougher environment on the pitch and, as you say, off it as well. I wonder whether your dad regretted the team not winning it for Bill as well, who never won the European Cup. Of course, he had UEFA Cup success, but that's one of the great trophies that somehow eluded him.
Yeah, it's one of them things. I mean, it's you always mention now with us not winning the league for so long now. It's, you know, becoming like an obsession, if you like. It's what happened with Man United from, what was it, 1968 till they won it in 92 or whatever it was. It was 24 years. It's longer than that now since, I think it's obviously 27 years. But it gets to be an obsession, and I don't think it's a good thing for the team and for the fans, because it's all, you know, you go on Twitter and Facebook, everything's about us not winning the league, every comment. You know, Jamie Carragher on Twitter, he put something on and everyone just mentions us not winning the league. They don't mention anything else. So it's not a good thing, I don't think.
No, it isn't. There's some brilliant highs and lows detailed in the book, Mr. Liverpool, the official life story of your dad, Ronnie Moran. But Rome 77 must be amongst his greatest ever occasions. And of course, you were there with him.
Yeah, well, not with him. I was there, not with him. Like, he was after the game, I was, to be fair, but
that's as good as being with him. Go on.
Well, to be fair, we were in the we got in the players' hotel after the game. It's one of them things now. It's all lost in the mist of time. But we watched the game. Our hotel wasn't that far away from the team's one. So at the night time after the match, when we got back to our hotel, put the stuff back, and then we walked to the team's hotel. And as luck would have it, I was only 15, and one of the players I knew at that time was Jimmy Case. Because he used to train at Melwood before he obviously went with the first team. But he, up to 1974, he used to train at Melwood on a Tuesday and Thursday night. And I used to go with my dad to watch the training. So I knew Jimmy Case, and he was by the door of the hotel. And it's one of them things, you know, they weren't letting people in. And I just said, "Jimmy, can you get me dad?" And he went, "Oh, all right, yeah." And he took his me, my brother-in-law, Chris, and my cousin, Brian, and he took us in. So the next thing, again, I was 15 at the time, so not like I am now. I was on Joey Jones's shoulders carrying the European Cup around the players' lounge in the hotel with people taking pictures. There's a film of it somewhere. There was a film. One of the TV companies were filming because Bertie Vogts was there, you know, the famous German manager and player. He was in our hotel for some reason. But it was just, it's one of them nights. You look back on it now, you think, I wish I had some pictures of it because I've got no proof of it. Because there was actually a picture of me on Joey's shoulders carrying the cup. And then that's got lost in the mist of times. But it's one of them things you look back on and say, Christ, I was in the team's hotel carrying the cup. So it was a good thing.
Was your dad the sort of person who would have been on Joey Jones's shoulders or not?
No, he'd be sitting in the background.
Would he?
He'd be worrying about that. I'd say he'd be worrying about the next season. He wasn't that nice. But we always used to say that thing with my dad. You don't get carried away when you lose. So you don't get carried away when you win. Because that's as, you know, when you see people rubbing it in when they've won. I mean, fair enough, if you know, you can win a big game and you can look at the people from the other team and, like, not smirk at them type of thing, but, you know, rubbing it into them and having a go. I don't like stuff like that. I mean, dad certainly wasn't one who, you know, if we lost a game, he wouldn't get it carried away and think it's the end of the world. No more do you think if you won a game, then, you know, that's it, we're set now. We don't have to worry about anything now. We're fine type of thing. That's what he wouldn't do. I think that helped the success over the years.
When did you see Ronnie Moran, your dad, on the highest ebb, though? When did you see him absolutely elated?
I didn't know you were going to ask me that, so I've not got any... It's probably after the game, possibly after that game or the...
So that's 77, because it was such a defining thing for the club to do.
It was something we've been trying to do, well, since, you know, and my dad, obviously, we just talked about, they got robbed, inverted commas, in 65. So to finally win it with him on the, you know, on the coaching staff then, I do think that was the highlight. If you'd said to me, Dad, pick one thing from your career, he'd probably have one from playing, which was probably playing in the Inter Milan first game, and then one from coaching would probably be winning the European Cup for the first time.
Mm. So, some brilliant stats in the book. Remarkable man, your father, and obviously Carl helped you significantly with collating all this together. Did it surprise even you when you came down to look at it and think, wow, this is what my dad's achieved?
Well, in a way, yeah, but we wanted to do the book so people could, you know, I think I said this at the time when it came out in March. It's like you've got people seeing your dad on the bench, and a lot of people, I believe, didn't know he played as many games as he did for Liverpool. Because, you know, certainly I'd spoke to people and said, well, he played for Liverpool as well, you know. Oh, did he? No, I didn't know that. Mm. So, well, he played nearly 370 games type of thing. You know, he stayed for 13 years. So, I mean, the legacy my dad's left, it's something that we've tried to get in the book so people can see actually how many games he was actually involved in. I mean, Carl's done that bit at the back with Arnie, where there's all the games he was at as a coach, and it runs into thousands. So I've always wondered whether, has anyone else been involved in more Liverpool games, even a fan, or has anyone else been involved in more games than my dad was? Has my dad seen more Liverpool games than anyone else ever? Because I think he won't be far off. Because you've got all the games from 52 when he was there to 65. And then obviously between 65 and 74, he was still going to first team games then when he was the coach of the junior teams. And from 74 to 98, he was there for every game except for one. And then from 98 when he retired, he'd still go to the first team games at home. So I'd love to know if anyone's ever seen more games than him. He can't claim it because I don't know.
Paul, I think he must hold that record. He's got to. But today isn't the important anniversary. So the 22nd of November 1952 marked his very first appearance. It was a defeat, by the way, to Derby County. Yeah. But he was in the team with Bob Paisley, Billy Little and many others. A team managed by Don Welsh. So today's the 65th anniversary of your dad's debut for Liverpool. Brilliant book. Congratulations with that one. I know loads of people want to buy it for Christmas, buy it for mates, or just read it themselves. And it is out there at the moment, Mr. Liverpool. Thank you very much indeed, Paul.
No problem. Thanks, Steve.
Take care.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.